actually, you don't have to learn to deal with that shape composition. Why do you have to learn to like that shape as a base shape? You don't.
Hi, and welcome to episode 149 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and to get you thinking. With me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And this week we have a bit of a vague and amorphous topic, but we're going to see where it takes us. We're going to talk about limitations. But before we get into that, I just want to know what you've been up to this week, Alice.
It feels like a very short week. So we're recording this unusually on a Saturday because Thursday and Friday I have been away for 2 days. On a business mastermind get together, which is always really interesting, partly because nobody else in that group is artists. So it kind of takes me out of artist world. And I just find that I'm stimulated in quite an interesting way by people who are, I suppose it's the problem solving element of things. I think actually as artists, perhaps one of our skills is to see what's going on around us and cherry pick, just kind of pick out what's of interest to us, whether that's in the landscape or, you know, what we're enjoying and what we're seeing, or, you know, ideas or things that you can apply to your business. So I always find it really interesting, even despite the fact that, you know, perhaps a large percentage of what's discussed is not always directly applicable. I just quite like my brain being challenged in that way. And it's just always nice to get away. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. What about you?
I have been doing a lot of painting, but in short bursts. So I might only have an hour in the day, but in that day, I've been making a lot of progress. And I made a painting in 2 days, and it's a big one. Made a painting in 2 days. Me, who takes months, actually did it. That was good. So the painting's been going really well. I set myself a target to finish 10 paintings of various sizes in January.
Yeah.
I've done 9 and we're halfway through. So I just need one more and I'll be on track. And then I want to finish about 10 in February. And then that should be, I should be done for the exhibition, which would be well ahead of where I want it to be. And kind of, I'm rushing a bit because I've got another idea I want to work on, which I've got to get this, I've got to compartmentalize, get this done. So I was doing that. But also I've been filming a masterclass for my art tribe, and also something that I think I'm going to put out for free as a, just on my website for anybody who wants it. And it's quite funny. I might have told this story before, but there's a book I read by Stuart McConey, who's a writer, music critic, DJ. He wrote a book and he was talking about walking in the Yorkshire countryside. And he said he went to this particular shop in a village somewhere, and on the door it said, "We do not sell light bulbs or batteries, so please don't ask." And he said he found it hilarious because if it had been in America, the shopkeeper would have found a way to get light bulbs and batteries, but being in Britain, they just go, "Stop asking us for what we don't sell." And I've been a bit like that with, I'm constantly asked questions about what brushes do you use, what substrates do you use, what paints do you use. So I am making a series of videos on those things, paint brands, paint viscosity, mediums, just from my perspective. I'm not saying I'm the expert, but this is everything you ever ask me. It's going to be on these videos. And then I can just say, here's a link to the videos that show you everything. I don't have to be rude and say, I really can't type up all the answers to that again and again and again. And also I think that we've had a lot of new members in our membership, and quite a few of them are either beginners or beginners to acrylic paint. So this will be something really useful for them too.
Yeah.
So I do sell light bulbs and batteries now, or I will.
Yeah. Well, it's a good prompt, isn't it? If questions keep coming up over and over and over and over again, and they're sort of relevant to what you do, it is that flag, right?
Maybe I could just
I should do something about that. You know, there's something here along these lines that isn't clear, or that I could make clearer. I think that's a really good, a good thing to do. Question though, on your painting that you did in 2 days, what was different about that? what did you have more of an idea of outcome, or was it that you were just concentrating on that one? What was different?
No, it was, and I'm going to talk about this actually in what's inspired, but it was a really being in flow. And I think it came from our last week's conversation. It was really working without any, just let me have some fun. I had this big panel, which I'd painted on sanded back, got lost so many times. It was all sanded back. So I just went to town doing whatever I wanted. And by the end of the first day, like a couple of hours, I thought, oh, I've got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I want to refine it. I want to add some bits. I want to add some texture. I want to do some things tomorrow, but basically I've got it. And okay. That's inspired
It wasn't on a completely starting from scratch, blank, pristine.
No, but it
panel.
Was.
There was something.
There was something helps, there, but it was all blue. So yeah. There okay. was nothing really there, but yeah. So it was genuinely just so, I'll talk about that actually in what's inspired, because I've had a very philosophical realization, which I shall share.
Oh, look forward to that.
So our main topic was actually prompted by a question in my membership group, and I'm not going to mention the name because they might not want me to share their name. But it was a question that prompted a lot of good answers from my members, and I just thought it might prompt a good discussion here, but I don't think we've actually discussed it on the podcast, which is the idea of setting limits or limitations for yourself while working on your art. This person was actually asking about limited palette, which is something that I use a lot. So, of course, I talk about it a lot, and therefore I presume she came across it that way. But she said, I understand what a limited palette is, but I haven't used one. Why give up all the colors? Maybe it's a problem that I can't be limited. I just feel so many rules about how I have to paint and express myself. And in a later comment, she clarified that she feels the rules, she knows they're in her own head, that I wasn't saying you have to use a limited palette. But she was really just genuinely interested in why anyone would want to limit all the colors that they use. And for me, I don't know about you, because I don't think we've really discussed this very much. It's the limits I set myself. It's not always a limited palette, but there is always a limitation of some kind that I put on myself, because otherwise I would literally just, well, I don't think I'd know what to do. There's too many choices if I don't put limitations on myself.
Yeah. Before we get into that though, what does she actually mean by a limited palette?
So, well, I don't know, because I'm assuming though that she's taken it from, because I talk about a limited palette a lot. She says, I understand what it is, but I haven't used one. I mean, right. I'm taking that to mean that she means you simply limit the colors that you're using from the beginning and don't go beyond that.
Yeah.
And she's saying, why give up all the other colors? So whether she doesn't necessarily mean really limited, but she means, why would you limit yourself? I think.
Yeah, because I mean, limited palettes can be done in different ways, can't they? And the simple answer is, you know, why do it? Why give up the other colors? Because it's easy to achieve something that has a harmonious effect. Simple answer to that one. But also that, you know, there's different ways of limiting, aren't there? And, you know, I was taught traditional color mixing, warm and cool of each of the primaries. And with that, you can make anything. Mm-hmm. And that can be quite overwhelming, I think, because it's a lot to manage, because you're managing all the temperature changes and saturation, and trying to get them all to sit well together can be quite hard. So I think that's why often people do encourage a limited palette. But I certainly feel that sometimes it can get you in a position where, because if you don't understand color, you then get stuck, because you might have a color in your mind that you're trying to achieve, that you can see or that you want in your painting. But if you don't actually have the right paints on your palette, it's physically impossible to mix them. So I think it's a really, and color is a huge subject and quite tricky perhaps to understand because some of the nuances are there. So limiting it just helps you start and get comfortable with what you're working with so that you can, it's not about mastering that, is it? It's about understanding what you're working with so that you can then start layering other things in and your learning can progress more quickly than when you're trying to do everything because you can't.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I like a limited palette for beginners is because it forces you to color mix. And mm-hmm. often beginners are not really color mixing. They're maybe putting a bit of white into something, but they might be taking colors out of the tube. And I like that you're forced, if you want a variety of color, to play with what you've got.
Yeah.
So that's another advantage on top of harmony. I really like to use, when I say I like to limit myself, so it might be with color, it generally always is with color. But then it also might be, okay, this series is all going to be this size, or this series is all going to be, I'm not allowed to use any mixed media, or I have to use, you know, just these colors, but I can use all different media in these colors. Or I find in my course, I actually set an exercise that is really limited, where I literally dictate to you what you have to do in what order. So you have to use this brush mark. You have to make a brush mark. Now you have to make a pen mark. Now you have to use a pastel. And the reason I do that is to show people that if you do that once, you follow my instructions once, you get an abstract image. But then if you do it again and again and again and again, you start to learn what you can do with those limitations I've given you. So you start to think ahead and think, oh, okay, I know I'm going to get to use a brush mark soon, so I'll do it in this way. And you get a whole series of little pieces that are where you've thought and you've begun to exercise thinking in a way that if I just said, take all the things and then make something, you wouldn't get anything anywhere near as interesting. And I love it that you can, sometimes people do that exercise. Someone will do that exercise and say, and I cheated and I did this. And I'm like, yes, good. Because that's what I want you to be thinking. Oh, I followed all your instructions, but it didn't look quite like I wanted. So I cheated and added one extra mark. Because the other thing, I think the way I use limitations, including limited palette, is I don't actually stick to it. So I might have a limited palette, but then right at the end, I'll bring in something else that's just going to zing it up and be different from everything that's there.
Yeah, because it leads you into a new direction. I think if you're starting to feel, I think there's a difference between limitations, perhaps, and restrictions. I think limitations can be really helpful because what they can do is when you take away so many options, it helps you see the patterns and the direction more clearly because you don't have so many different multiples involved. Restrictions, the word of restriction feels controlled and heavy and like there's no opportunity for exploring. Whereas I think limits, what they can do is they can be really useful for learning to help you direct your thoughts down a particular avenue, because often what happens when we're learning something is, you know, we're going to hit tricky bits, we're going to hit bumpy bits, and where we're not getting the results we want or where something is a little bit frustrating. Whereas if you've got a deliberate limit or limitations that you've introduced into a series of work, I think you're more likely to work through that, and therefore you're more likely to get to a stage where you've actually learned what you like doing best, what works well from you, whether that's colors or marks or whatever it is. And that's actually going to help you further in the long run. Otherwise, I think everybody's natural inclination is, oh, I'm doing something and doesn't really working. Oh, I'll go and try something else, something totally different. And that's often where you get into that none of it really feels cohesive and it doesn't hang together. And I don't really know where I'm going with my art or what I'm doing. So limitations can be really useful and fun, actually. I think this is the other thing about limits is they are often a nice way to give yourself like a little extra project that maybe happens alongside your main work, where you've got something that's really self-contained and your expectations of it are different from what you're doing, if you like, in your main work. And that's often how I use limits.
Yeah. And actually, I came across two people in different Facebook groups in this last few weeks, I'm just thinking, who were both in the same situation, which was an outside event had happened, which prevented them from using their normal studio. So it was a restriction or a limitation, but they reacted totally different. One person said, well, I can't do anything until I can get back into my space. And they were in different groups. It wasn't the same conversation, but the other person said, we're living in a caravan, I think it was, well, we have to live there because I've had a fire or whatever. And now all I've got is a few inks and some paper and some brushes, and I've done this. And they had turned the limitations into a new project, like a challenge for themselves on how much can I do with this very limited stuff I was able to get out of the house. And it just struck me as such a metaphor for everything, really, for what was possible if you keep an open mind about it. Whereas that other person, and it's not to criticize, because God knows I've been someone who is not, you know, the best at making the best of a bad situation. So I'm not criticizing, but as an outsider looking at them both, I could see, oh, that was possible for you as well, but you didn't see it. You just saw the downsides of not being able to do what you normally do. And so I just think that so much of this, like that person's question, was couched in, I don't want it. Why should I do that? I don't want to do that, without trying to do it and see if it was actually fun, or trying, you know, just see. And then you can say, no, that's not for me. I actually like all the colors. And it's okay to use all the colors and not have a painting harmonize. Paintings don't have to harmonize if you don't want them to.
No.
But try the limitation. And I'd be really interested after this episode, if people want to leave us comments about limitations and ideas they've set themselves, because I think I'm always looking for new ideas to spark creativity and just give myself a chance to play and explore. And I think the limited idea has always given me something new.
It's just about, like, turning around, as you say, turning around your thinking about it. Like, this part I haven't used on why give up all the other colors. You turn that around to, how many colors can I make with this?
Yeah.
You know, because very often you end up making things that you don't necessarily expect. I think there's going to be something in my What's Inspired about color. But I did just a limited palette color mixing just for myself the other day. And on Instagram, a couple of people shared some really interesting color mixes that they've done. Like, I think there was a purple and an orange that they'd mixed and it had made a blue, like, you know, which is a bit mind baffling. And I think, was it an orange? No, it wasn't. Maybe it was a purple and a, I think it might have been phthalo green. Anyway, I can't remember. So you could kind of understand the logic of it, because if it was a violety type of purple, you could see how, what kind of blue that would end up with. But the point is that you make discoveries when you have limits.
Yes.
And that's what we want to do here.
And it's just struck me when you said phthalo green. I mentioned using that last week because I'd pulled it out of a drawer of paints I never use. And I have two limiting things in my own head. One, I don't use mixed greens out of tubes ever. Yeah. I just won't. And two, phthalo green is a disgusting color. I'm never going to touch it.
Horrible.
And what it brought out when I mixed it with other colors was some amazing colors.
Yeah.
So my that's the other flip side of this, is the limits we put on ourselves by our own attitudes. Sometimes when you flip them on their head, you realize, oh, okay, I don't have to paint pure phthalo green into my paintings. I can use it to mix with an orange and it makes this really cool, beautiful green. If I put some white in it, it's stunning. So that's the other side of it, is how many things are we carrying around that we've declared that's the way it has to be. And and we've talked about limiting beliefs in a bigger way before, but I think we have them in our paintings too.
Yeah.
I don't use palette knives. I don't like brush marks or whatever it is. I don't like, and then we don't try it.
No, and I think that's why this is a difficult one to navigate, because as we said at the beginning, if you don't have some limits, the possibilities are so endless, it would be really difficult to manage if you were trying to do everything. And ultimately, I think perhaps what you're doing is making a series of decisions or choices about what limits are right for you and your work at this present moment in time. And at other times that might change. It's always worth exploring, though, and creating these little excursions, I think. I'm trying to think when I'm talking about what limits I have at the moment, or what limiting beliefs I have at the moment about my work and what I can do. I think still perhaps size is something. I don't know if that's a limiting belief, though, or just a recognition of I don't necessarily have the energy for things as a bigger scale. I don't know if that's a limiting belief other than just actually an honest recognition of where I am and what I can create and not having to do things for other people's expectation.
I definitely don't like working on canvas. So I've just not bothered trying. And your evidence that if you try and work at it, you can find a new way of working, because I've seen you do that. I've very much been of the school you mentioned earlier of, well, that's not working, so just forget it. Instead of,
but there's a place for that, isn't there, at some point? There's a place for that, because actually saying that's not right for me now has enabled you to push your paintings further in another direction by deciding that that's not right for you at that time.
That's true because I've gone very much into the heavily textured surfaces, which wouldn't really, well, would be possible on canvas, but it's much harder because you have to do it on raw canvas, and even then I have been known to go straight through raw canvas with the sander, so I can make holes in anything except a big solid piece of wood. So yes, that's one. I tell you another one I've got, because I've got two panels sitting in my storage space, and I bought them when panels were really in hard to come by, and I was just buying whatever I could get. And they're kind of rectangular shaped.
Mm.
And I've got this, I look at them and I go, no, I don't want to paint on that. But why not? I've seen other people do very nice things on that shape. It's possible. So maybe when I'm finished with this group of work, maybe I'll drag out a canvas and one of those panels that's the one I don't like and see if I can do something nice with it.
Or put the two of them together. Either. So if they're are they that sort of slightly clunky, automatic, regular?
Yeah, yes, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, though that either together, two long horizontal sections together, works quite nicely.
Yeah,
I've done that before.
Yes, I have. I've got, that's what I mean, though. That'd be cheating because I'd be turning into the format I like. So
Why is that cheating?
I don't know, because I'm just thinking of where I'm limited. What I'm thinking is, wouldn't it be nice? I agree with you that you need limits. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be nice, like the phthalo green, I had everything else was the way I like it, but I threw one extra thing in that was something I think I don't like. And sometimes you'll do that and you still won't like it. And then, okay, that didn't work. But I'm wondering if I went back to, I chose a palette that I love, but I put one thing in, like say a canvas, and then I made myself, it feels a waste to me when I see it there, this big canvas that I've got. It feels like, come on, you got to do something with that. And it feels like it's beating me. Like, you know, it's better than me. I feel like I should defeat that canvas and do something with it.
So maybe here's the thing, is the question about whether it's a limit that's good for you or not, or one that you should embrace or try to tackle, is what does this bring to my work, or what is this holding me back from doing? You know, is it worth it? Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I don't want to do that right now. I don't have the energy for it. I'm not interested in what's on the other side of that. You know, whether it's learning how to work on canvas or deal, like actually you don't have to learn to deal with that shape composition. Why do you have to learn to like that shape as a base shape? You don't.
No, I don't.
Ever, if you don't want to.
And you've brought up a good point, actually, because the reason for canvas in the first place was I can't maneuver the larger panels around when they get heavy and they warp. But since then, the person that makes my panels, we've kind of refined it over time to something where I can lift fairly big ones with what he's using and they're not warping. And so actually, yes, the reason for that canvas is no more. And I could donate that canvas to someone else who would use it. If I think it's wasted, I could say, would you like this big canvas to use?
Mm-hmm. What happened to your big canvas piece that was on the floor that was just kind of collecting stuff that you were going to work on and add to?
I'm trying to remember. Was that the one pinned on the wall?
At one point it was pinned on the wall, but then I thought that there was...
At the moment, my floor's covered in canvas. And the idea of that...
Oh, you're still doing that?
Yeah, it's just going to get messed up. I did do one piece, a long piece of canvas pinned to the wall, and that actually became a painting. And then I stretched it over some bars that I had.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it became, it was one of the Ted Hughes ones, actually, and that worked out quite well. But it wasn't stretched. It's the stretched canvases that I have a hard time with. So what are we saying then that we should... So it's a good point you make. It's... Do you need to push past the limit? Like the colour limitation that I pushed past with the Thalo green, that was to bring something fresh. So yeah, that worked. So taking another colour that you don't normally use might bring something fresh. It might bring something horrible and then you can just put it away again. But yeah, the canvas really wouldn't at the moment.
Well, I think it's, what am I going to learn by doing this or testing this or exploring this? And is this relevant to me at the moment?
What do you think generally limitations do you, the positive limitations or limits do you put on yourself when you're working?
I think that there are different stages of work that I pull limitations in where I find it's helpful for me to refine or simplify things. But actually, if I do too much of that, then it becomes a little bit too predictable and it doesn't excite me. And then I have to shake it up a bit by deliberately not having limits. And, you know, that is often new color. And a lot of that stage then is about being comfortable with the fact that it's going to take you into somewhere new that you don't yet know quite how to manage.
That is,
that quite excites me.
That is an excellent point because I just did that with this painting I said that was finished in 2 days. It felt like pretty much finished on day one as a composition and the colors and everything, but it felt just too neat and tidy. And so day two was about, the first part of day two was, like you said, going back to no limits. Right, what if I was to spoil this with charcoal? What if I was to cover that part up with collage and then sand on it? What if I was to splash paint all over that bit I like? And close my eyes. I was doing that a lot. Close my eyes and do something. And then come back and pull it back again. So this is the third part, which I didn't even think of when we talked about limits. But when you let go of them, as you say, go a bit crazy and then come back and look at it and say, right, how can I fix what I've done now so that it is acceptable again? Because it's gone too far the other way now and it's lost what it had.
I think so much of what, well, for me anyway, so much of what we do is about being able to navigate all of those emotional responses that happen as you're creating a piece of work and getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, uncomfortable with what you're learning, uncomfortable with what you feel you've got control over, and then bringing it back into a space that feels okay. And without pushing it over the edge, I don't feel like I'm moving forward or doing something new. So going back to the original question about what is a limited palette, but I haven't used one, why give up all the other? It's interesting, isn't it? Why give up all the other colors? I mean, you could say, you know, why give up all the other materials? Why have I given up on using oil paint? Why did I give up on doing printmaking? Can't do everything.
This is a little bit of some people's problem though as well, isn't it? Because they have that question, like, I want to paint florals and landscapes and abstracts and portraits, and I want to use oils and watercolors, and I want to do all the things, and that is a little bit how some people feel. when they, especially I find people who've made art in the past, gone away yeah. from it and then come back to it, because there's a feeling of there isn't enough time and I need to do all the things, use all the colors, use all the tools.
And the way that I deal with that is by seeing things on a project type basis. And whether that comes from kind of background and design training, where there was a project with a defined end, always that's maybe just how my brain works. But I always see things, so limits, as only being temporary.
Yeah.
Saying no to things is only temporary. So you're not saying no. You know, it's not no printmaking forever. It's no for now, because actually what I want to explore is more important right at the moment. And you have to be able to do that. You have to get comfortable with saying no to certain things if you want to make progress in the direction that you really want to go in. But it's not forever. And as soon as you kind of go, oh, well, it's not forever. Well, okay, that's fine then.
Yeah.
I can live with that. You know, that's what it is. And that's why so much of this is just navigating all of that. All of those kind of rules that we have in our head for ourselves.
I think that's such a good point, because I have like this big idea I want to work on, which will be a big idea in another 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't start it yet because I've got to finish preparing for the exhibition. And when I see people saying, but I want to do this and I want to do this, I want to do this. And I feel like, well, we all want to do that. But that's not life, is it? You have to. And maybe it's also because of my business background, where we had projects and deadlines and you have to do them. And you can't say to your boss, yeah, but I had this idea for something else, so I went and did that. It doesn't work. But yeah, it's just, but I know that idea's there. So I haven't had to say go away. And in fact, I quite like the fact that it's percolating in the background.
Yeah.
Because if I was to start it now, I don't actually know what I would do. All I know is I have a subject and some basic, very, very vague ideas. So it's okay for it to just rub along in the background. And I think it's the same for colors. So you pick your limited palette, you experiment with it, you push it to where you've got as far as you can with it. And if it's not working for you, you add another color, and one extra color changes it into an entire new palette. And that can keep you going. And then, or you just say, no, you know what, this is rubbish, I don't want to do this anymore, and I'm going to put some lime green and yellow in it. And that's up to you as well.
Yeah. I was reading, back again, I know we spoke about it last week, but this essentialism book. And I love that bit where there's a section on how to say no to things in there. You know, you just say no, and or make the parameters really clear, you know. So what's acceptable to you or not? And one of the questions is how to say no to your, okay, he's talking in a work setting, how to say no to your boss. So if somebody comes to you with something else to do, but we can do this to ourselves too. So your brain is kind of going, here's this other idea. Here's this other idea. Here's something else to do. And your answer is, well, absolutely. Yes, I can do that. What else do you want me to deprioritize?
I loved it when he said that. I was like, oh, I wish I'd thought of that when I was working for someone else.
I know. So, but it's the same thing. And now we've just got to do it for ourselves, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, these ideas come along. Well, what else is going to go? Which is more important to you right now?
I actually find that very frustrating when people do it to me, though. Because I have had someone do that to me and it's very frustrating. I don't want you to deprioritize anything. I want them all when I said.
Oh, so how do we tackle this then?
So I think the reason to give up all the colors for now, I think the reason for the limitation, whatever the limitation is to give yourself the maximum amount of freedom to explore. Because
what you're left with.
Yeah, because if you put some parameters around it, we probably already said this and I'm just saying it in a different way, but by putting parameters around it, you give yourself enormous freedom then to go within that, push all the edges all the way around, as if you were locked in a room and you're trying every wall to see if you can push it or move it, or is there a secret door? And sometimes you find a secret door that lets you do a little bit more than you thought was possible. Mm-hmm. But if you don't limit yourself in that way, then you never get to find out the magic of, as you said, that purple and that green. You would never find that unless you were forced to push what you had.
Or you wouldn't notice it. I think that's the other really powerful part of limits, is that you know, if everything's all happening, it's too much to see. It's like a Where's Wally book. Whereas, you know, when there's limits, you can see more clearly, giving yourself the chance to see and notice. I think that's where they're super, super helpful.
I think that's a brilliant point. And that is, I know I'm very fortunate in the current lockdown situations, or we're not in lockdown now, but when we were, in where I live. But the one thing I really got out of that was, I used to spend a lot of time taking my dog in the car other places to go for walks. So we'd have some variety, like, let's go here, let's do this. And then for a few months last year, we couldn't do that. And we were literally just going on the same walk every day, or the same few walks. And I got so much out of those walks because I had to look at, like, I was looking at the same tree as it went through spring into summer, because that's when it was, and the same path when it's muddy and when it's not, and the sky when it's this color and when it's this color, and everything. I've come so much more connected to where I live through that period. And now when we go for our walks, I don't generally take him anywhere else. We go on the same walks, and I just really enjoy, I try to be more present with all the stages of it, which gets easier now that he barely walks. We kind of shuffle along. So I have to look at every twig and every weed in the side of the road. But I think that you make, it's such a brilliant point. You catch those little nuggets because it's so limited, because what you're working with is so sparse.
And it's just, it's a good way of tuning you in to what you want. That's all we're doing, fine tuning all the time. Fine tuning, fine tuning.
And on to our final segment, what's inspired, or what have you enjoyed this week? So what's inspired you this week, Alice?
I was thinking about this actually as I was driving back, because I haven't really watched, or I'm still reading the post-holiday reading. It just doesn't happen so much in everyday normal life, does it? Damn it. So the pace of that has slowed down a little bit. So I'm still on the same book. I think what's inspired this week is, I started off thinking, like, it's just been a very slow easing back. And sometimes January, I'm like a firework ready to go. And I kind of feel like February is going to be my new January. And, you know, January can just be like the month that doesn't really exist if you wish hard enough. And that's okay. And so along with that is this feeling of simplicity. So simplicity has inspired. And that for me has meant enjoying simple things, like getting started just with a color mixing page that I did, that's on Instagram, just as an easy way back in. Getting the house back to feeling simple again, taking all the Christmas decorations down.
I love
down.
That part, yeah.
I love that. It just feels fresh and clean. And that kind of opens up in exactly the same way that we've been talking to you, actually. When there's less there, it just kind of makes everything feel a little bit more open. And I just really want to be conscious to kind of retain some of that and have to hold back a little bit on my natural tendencies to put loads and loads and loads of stuff in. So yeah, simplicity. I'm just going to really hold on to that one. I haven't even got as far as choosing a word of the year yet, but it might be that.
Maybe it's simplicity.
Maybe. And I've just kind of, I haven't even started painting again properly. I've just been back into the studio and just stood and looked at it all and just thought, wonder what next. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. What about you? Anything that's inspired?
Yes. Yeah, so this is my great philosophical idea, and I'll try. It's nothing earth shattering, everybody. Relax.
Come on, hit us with it. You've built it up now.
But
it's going to be good.
But it's something that I'm going to try and use this year to guide me.
Yeah,
through my life this year. I finished that painting in 2 days. It made me realize again, and it was our conversation last week about intuitive painting, about how I work best is when I really just don't think. And so I had some other panels that hadn't got anywhere, and I pulled those out and just did some really intuitive painting on those, by which I mean no thought other than which colors am I going to use, and just doing what felt good. And I was trying to break it down. What am I meaning by intuitive? So what I meant in that situation was, I'm doing the next thing that occurs to me with no thought of what it might do to the future result. Yeah. So I'm just doing the thing that occurs to me and I'm not thinking ahead any further. And out of that, I started three. One was a disaster. One's quite promising and one's done. I love it. And it's like came out of nowhere and doesn't look like anything else I've done. But it started me thinking, and I know every guru says this about life, but I kind of get it now, that if you just do the next thing that's obvious to do without what I do, which is, yeah, but then if I do that, this could happen, that could happen, this could happen. And then how will I deal with that? And what will I do? At which point I just stop and then I don't do the thing. If I took that lesson from painting, I put it into life and I just do the next thing that occurs to me and let whatever's going to be the end result and do the next thing after that and the next thing after that, which I have friends who live like that and who say to me, that's how you have to live. You just do the thing and then deal with it. But that has never been how I live. How I live is, I could do this thing, but the end result's going to be that. And I am convinced it's going to be that because I can see everything and I am God and I know what's going to happen. And it's going to be that thing. And so I'm going to work towards it. So that's my big realization. And so I don't know what my word of the year is, but my motto of the year is just do the next thing.
It's not even about getting as far as trusting it about the end result working. That's the whole point, really, isn't it? It's just the next part and see where it goes.
Yeah, like there's some little voice in your head always telling you what the next thing to do is. A lot of times we don't want to listen to it because it might not be what we want to do, or it might not be easy, or it might be, but there's a little voice that's telling you, and you, if you just did that and trusted it without trying to project out. My favorite Kyle Cease, who I've talked about, he always says, you hear a little voice that says, what if you just resigned from this job that you don't like? And then you think, yeah, but there's a Christmas party next week and I really was planning on going to that. And then there's this, and then there's that. And you don't listen to the little thing that says, but you really should just quit and see what happened. So that's what I'm going to try really hard to do. At least I'm going to try to be aware when my brain starts projecting out and think of life like a painting, because it is a bit about trust, isn't it? Because in painting, I trust that whatever I do is going to be okay. And if it's not, I can do something else which will fix it.
Mm.
And unless I'm talking about jumping off a 10-story building, then whatever action I take, I can do something after that action to either fix it or follow on from it.
Nothing's ever that disastrous.
Unless you jump from a 10-story building.
Well, if that little voice comes in, that's when you ring someone else.
So it would be great to hear from you if you are working on a project with limits, if you've had an idea of some limits, if you've got some limits that work well for you, or if you've got a limit that you want to bust through. It would be lovely to hear from you. You can tag us on Instagram, but you would tag hashtag Art Juice Podcast and just tell about your project, or you can come to either of our Facebook pages and leave us a comment. We don't actually have an Art Juice Facebook page because that would be overwhelming to manage, but you can come to either of our pages. And as always, you can find us either on Instagram or on our websites. Mine is louisefletcherart.com and Alice's is alicesheridan.com. And we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye. So we've been looking after the dog this week because we went in for what we thought was a regular teeth clean and thought she might have to have a few taken out. She had to have quite a lot taken out. So she's been a really little bit of a mopey, sad dog. But she has recovered now. but we had a sad mopey dog for a day. But this is what I discovered. She wasn't, because she wasn't eating, she wasn't taking her antibiotics, and she did a really good job of like swallowing a quarter of an antibiotic, swallowing a quarter of an antibiotic. You do that four times, I think it's all gone. You let her go, spits them all out like a little pea shooter all over the sofa. What we discovered was Paul went back with her for a checkup to the vet, and they just said, well, we can just give her the whole course of antibiotics as one injection.
Oh.
That's easier. Let's do that then. Why have we only just discovered this 13 years into dog ownership?
I never could give a cat a tablet in my entire history of cat ownership, but giving Riley any kind of tablet, he'll eat anything. So if you hand him a tablet, he just chomps it down, whether it's flavored or not, like, oh, food. I literally could go, here's a piece of poo, and he would eat it. It's literally nothing he wouldn't eat.